Hi, everybody. It's been a really long time, but I'm back and I'm talking with different people, not just Bothy people and not just, mamas and people that accompany mamas, but also other women that are doing amazing things, mostly women, some men, but mostly my focus is amazing women. So, an amazing woman named Christina Folsick is with me today. She is, well, Christina, why don't you introduce yourself and let everyone know all of the different things that you can do?
So I'm a an endurance coach, but along with my coaching, I'm also a shaman in training and do a lot of work with my athletes on not just the physical piece, but also the emotional piece because they do go hand in hand on helping you achieve all your endurance goals.
So I know you, and I know that you've been through many, many changes in your life. So I'm going to just dive right into the big questions. How do you believe that change can help us as humans?
It helps us, especially with trauma. The unfortunately, the longer you're alive, the more likely you are to experience some sort of trauma. And when that happens, it can actually cause you to kind of stop in your tracks and get stuck. And that happened to me several years ago. I had some very significant trauma in my life and felt like I was left with nothing. And my only choice was to rebuild my life. And that's where I found the path of shamanism, which brought me peace and helped me understand that the root of all my problems wasn't all my circumstances. It was the lack of self-love and believing in myself. So once I started working on me and not focusing on all the other things that had happened to me and people in my life, I noticed a huge shift in what was happening to me. And I felt like the universe was just throwing all this good. And when that happened, I really wanted to share it with other people, so I took my love of endurance sports and decided I'd try coaching people, but not just focusing on the physical piece, but also the emotional. And I've helped several people work through various traumas and emotional pieces of their life so they can pursue their sport, but also move forward in their life with a lot more joy, happiness, and the ability to just take a step back in the toughest moments and see it for what it is. Make peace with it and move forward.
So, just for those of us who the so what is an endurance sport? Because a lot of the people that listen to my podcast and appreciate it, they're mamas, they've given birth, which is an endurance sport, in itself. But what would you describe as an endurance sport? And what are most of the athletes that you coach, what do they do?
So an endurance sport is something like cycling or swimming or biking, where you just keep kind of chasing new distances and you go further. And, so mostly it's something that involves cardiovascular training. But I also think it's not that different from motherhood. I personally don't have any children, but I have several nieces, nephews, and friends that do. And, it's learning how to keep moving forward when you think you can't. And, having the energy and digging a little bit deep to just keep going. The longer you're out there, sometimes you're not sleeping, and it's learning how to take care of yourself through good nutrition and making sure you do get adequate sleep. But I think the endurance sports are very similar to motherhood, it seems.
I think motherhood, especially, well, motherhood in general, because I mean, in a bigger picture, because I know my oldest is 40 now, so that has been an endurance just in the like 40 years that I've been doing it. But also, exactly what you said, the sleepless nights, the not knowing if you can do it, the physical endurance qualities that you need, and also working as a birth attendant, you also are using some of those qualities that an endurance athlete uses. I think everyone should have to like run 50 kilometers or swim 2 miles or something. I don't know about swimming. It's different because it to me it's much more scary, but Yeah, it definitely teaches you about life.
Yeah,
So
like a
what?
long, I was gonna say a long day on the trail isn't, it's one of those places where you have that time to really think through a lot of things in your life and oftentimes solve problems.
Yes. And I know that some of the times when I've been awake, at 3 in the morning with a newborn, with a newborn of my own, or when I've been awake at 3 in the morning with a mama who's laboring, I haven't yet run anywhere at 3 in the morning, but I feel that there's that peace that you get in the middle of the night when you know that, you're one of the few people still awake. It's a lovely feeling.
It is.
So what is your driving force?
Mine is helping people find happiness. I feel like a lot of society lately has just become overstressed and they struggle with being nice to each other, being happy with themselves, and just taking on too much. So, my focus is really just helping people slow down a little bit and take a deep breath and realize that we only get to do this once, and why not make it a happy and joyful experience?
That leads really nicely into my next question. I was just talking to someone the other day. I met up with her, hadn't seen her for years, and we were talking about how I don't know if it's the same in Arizona right now. I feel like it isn't, but here in Montreal, and it seems like all along the East Coast, it's like when you ask someone how they are, busy seems to be an appropriate answer. Like, how are you? Oh, I'm busy. Or, oh, I'm tired. And you, well, I met you as an endurance training coach, and I found out you're an amazing therapist and a shaman in training, and an endurance athlete, an author, an artist, and you used to be a dental hygienist. You could easily do that busyness, and you don't. So tell me about wearing all those different hats and not getting busy.
Well, I do think it's a, I don't know if it's an East Coast thing, but the being able to multitask, and that's one thing that really stands out to me was I used to take so much pride in, especially if I'm applying for a job, I'm so good at multitasking. I can do a million things at once. And when I started pursuing a more peaceful lifestyle and studying shamanism, what I realized is when you're putting yourself out there and you're doing too many things at the same time, you lose your focus and you take the joy out of that experience. And there's a lovely book that I read, and it was written by a Buddhist. And another thing that really stood out was he said, when you're washing dishes, you should be washing the dishes. And I really took that to heart. And when I wash my dishes now, I don't try to think of other things. I don't try to do something else. I simply stand there and I wash my dishes. And it was something I used to despise doing, and now I actually find joy in washing dishes because I'm being mindful. So, if you're multitasking, it's really hard to be mindful. Of course, there are times in your life where you have to multitask, and of course, having children, sometimes you're forced to do more than one thing because you have somebody who needs you, especially when they're small, or maybe when they're adults too. I may have been a difficult teenager, but. slowing it down the best you can, and when you have time to simply do one thing at a time, you perform better, you feel better, and you really do better because you're passionate about what you're doing. And I do the coaching, but I also am an artist, so I separate those two moments and give myself some time each day to like simply focus on my art, and then I take that other time to simply focus on my coaching. And of course, everybody needs time for themselves, and it's not selfish to set aside a certain amount of time a day to take care of yourself, whether it's meditation, going for a walk, going to the gym, or just going to get coffee with a friend.
That's one of the challenges that new mothers face, and it's a big problem, especially in our culture, because new mothers aren't honored as they should be, and a lot of times they don't feel that they can take that time, and really they don't understand that wrapping baby up and keeping, baby on your chest and going outside and, you know, sitting in a chair and looking at a tree is actually time for themselves. So
yeah.
It's a complicated thing, especially in our day and age where we have to do a million things at once.
Yeah, and I mean, the other struggle too is, you know, pretty much all of my friends, except for maybe one or two that have children, don't have an opportunity to stay home because society has just created a situation where financially it's hard for both parents to stay home. So that creates a whole nother dynamic, is juggling having a child, having a job, having a significant other. How and where do you find time for yourself? So it's, you know, even 5 minutes, even 30 seconds a day of sitting down in stillness alone can make a huge difference.
Okay, let's talk about that a minute, because I know that you do work with a lot of people. Do you really think that 5 minutes, let's say someone decides they're going to sit for 5 minutes, let's not even call it meditation, but let's say they decide they're going to sit for 5 minutes in the morning. Do you see that making a difference? And how would someone do that?
So it's really funny. When I started finding time for myself, 10 seconds was my max, and it seemed really ridiculous. But one of the books I was reading said that even if you can do 10 seconds a day, it will make a difference in your overall well-being. So what I would do in the morning is I would set a timer for 10 seconds, and I'd sit there and close my eyes. And it seems ridiculous because it's such a short amount of time, but when you sit in stillness and not move and you turn your mind off, 10 seconds is a really long time. And then I would work my way up to 20 seconds, 30 seconds. And when I hit 5 minutes, I was really excited. But there was a profound difference even in doing the 30 seconds of starting my day. And I love coffee, so a nice warm cup of coffee, I would sit there with my eyes closed, and I would just enjoy that feeling of warmth in my hands and quietness. And if my dog was bouncing around driving me crazy, I would just go in another room and just sit there in stillness by myself.
Nice. Okay, so people out there, I hope you remember this. 5 minutes, you can start with 10 seconds and build it up. I think maybe if everyone in the world did it, the world would be a pretty different place. Everyone just seems to be running around like crazy all the time. I was just looking out our front window. We're on a reasonably busy street, but there's always pedestrians and children and bicycles and stuff crossing the street. And literally a guy just speeded through the red light. He was clearly doing a million other things and, you know, felt that he was in a hurry. Maybe if we could force him to sit down in the morning for 10 seconds and slow down a minute, it would help.
Yeah, it helps finding stillness for a few minutes. Kind of a funny little story with my partner. He is go, 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 and has a really hard time finding stillness and sitting still. And we went to a fire ceremony at one of our friends' houses when we were visiting in Colorado this year. And for him, it was the first time in his life that he actually found stillness. And all we did was sit around this fire and listen to my friend talk. And he said it was one of the most profound changes in his life, because now he will take some time to just sit in stillness. And he's not going to sit there for a half hour, but even just taking a couple minutes to lay there in stillness, and that changed his life, because he was having a lot of trouble sleeping. He was overstressed, and it really helped.
Yeah, I think stillness is so important. Stillness and peace. And it's one of the things, unfortunately, we're not teaching our children how to do that. I think when a child says they're bored, it's a really great thing. Or when they're allowed just to sit and daydream instead of having to do an activity all the time, it's so valuable.
Yeah, and that's really funny. I can remember being a kid, I'm bored. And my mom's like, well, just go sit outside. And there was a very long period of time where I really wanted to be bored again. And I had just created a situation for myself where I couldn't be bored. And now I take time, and of course I'm out in Arizona, so most days are lovely, But I will just go outside in the backyard and I just lay down and I look at the clouds or the sky and watch the birds. And, I enjoy that feeling of being bored, and it's amazing.
It is. It is. And mothers out there, just remember, next time your kid says they're bored, just say, "Oh, that's great." Don't feel you have to rush around finding activities for them all the time, because you don't. They can
No.
just be bored and hang around and pick something up and like throw it like a little pebble, just throw it at a twig, or that is such soothing, nurturing activity for children.
But it encourages creativity too, because looking back again when I was a kid, my sister and I, we'd be bored. So my mom would be like, "Go outside." And what would we do? All of a sudden, we're finding, just like you said, sticks and rocks, and we're creating and we're thinking and we're dreaming and coming up with ideas. And when you sit in front of a television or a cell phone or a tablet, you're looking at other people's ideas, other people's perceptions of what the world should be and how you should be. And as a young child, I think it's really important to encourage kids to explore who they are, without any other influence in their life. And that boredom is never a bad thing, but we're taught that boredom is bad. We're taught that boredom equals lazy, but it doesn't. We need that downtime so that we can cleanse our minds and be ready to take on another project. So, finding time to be bored or just find stillness will actually increase productivity, and kids will do better in school and they'll excel in life. They're not going to be lazy people because they have downtime. And, being busy is, it really shouldn't be a badge of honor.
Yeah, exactly. Being busy and tired is not a great thing. So I'm going to change my questioning a little bit. I'm just wondering, what do you think women athletes' biggest challenge is?
So most of the women I work with have children, and I think their biggest challenge is taking time for themselves because they feel guilty leaving their child. And not to say that dads aren't great, but the dads have an easier time just leaving and going and getting their exercise in, where moms feel like their job is never done. So, I think any mother, even if it's not an endurance sport, every mother deserves some downtime because you have the hardest job in the world. You're oftentimes taking care of children and taking care of a family, and you just never have time for yourself. And if you take that time to take care of yourself, you're going to be healthier, you're going to live longer, and you're setting yourself up for a really nice old, when you become older, senior years. But you're also setting an example for your children, your sons and your daughters. You're showing the sons that yes, moms are allowed to take time for themselves and go do something that they enjoy and have a hobby outside of motherhood. And you're also showing your daughters that, hey, I can be a mom and I can still enjoy the things that I enjoy doing. And you may have to modify them a little bit, but the point is it's consistency and still getting out there and doing something for yourself every day.
Yeah, I have another question, but I just wanted to remark. I think it was Jared Campbell, but I don't remember exactly which of the other Barkley finishers it was, who wrote a little piece about Jasmine Paris finishing, and he said that that finish taught his daughters more than he could ever teach them, which is like women need to be out there and providing examples for girls to be able to strive for, even if you're not going to finish the Barkley. Not many of us are, but to know that a woman can do that, a woman and a mother can do that, is just amazing.
That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in sports, and it was John Kelly that said that.
Okay.
Just waiting for her to finish and like, is she gonna do it? Is she gonna do it? And I really think the entire world, even people that didn't even know what they were looking at, they were just, what is going on? And to see her finish, it was, I've watched that like 100 times and I get teared up every single time.
I know. I was at, we were having dinner, the family, and I was like, I kept showing everyone, and everyone was like, "Oh, Mama and her Barkley," like, and I was literally crying I couldn't believe it. It was so amazing. So women, mothers, can be that kind of example for their children, because our children think that we're absolutely amazing and the very best. So if you're going out for a half an hour run, either the child is staying with the other parent, or you've got one of those little stroller things to push baby around on, it really means something. But what about the women who don't have children? What do you think their biggest challenge as an athlete is?
Honestly, women that don't have children tend to overwork. And, you know, they take on, it's really funny, and I find this with myself too, you take on a caregiver role with, you know, friends or family and work usually, and you just start putting yourself last again because everybody else comes first, and, you know, you lose touch of yourself. And then as a female, and I hate to separate men and women because I'm like totally for equality, a woman does have to work a lot harder to gain that respect and move up in the workforce. So what I find with the female athletes that either don't have children or they, you know, their children are out of the house, is they work too much. And they do that because they're trying to get a promotion. They're trying to keep their job. And that's a fear for females, is, you know, not being as good as some of their male coworkers and losing their job. So again, it's encouraging them to find time for themselves so that when they show up at work, they can actually perform better, but also helping them set boundaries and say, you know, I love working, but I shouldn't have to, you know, work a 13, 14 hour day if that's not what I was scheduled to work, where sometimes I'll even see, like, you know, other people in the workplace aren't there that long. So again, it's just taking that time for yourself so that you can be the best you can be in other aspects of your life.
I think personally for me, it was also, as you were coaching me through my preparation for my 50K, I think it was also that ability to just say, oh, I have to do a 4.5 hour run today. Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's hard to tell a significant other. And, you know, if you throw kids into the mix, it's even harder. But, you know, to say I'm doing something for myself and I'm not going to see you for several hours, you know, there's in the beginning, and this is something I see with when I work with one person in the relationship, there's fear oftentimes from the person that's not doing it. What are they going to be doing without me for 4 hours? Are they going to be okay? Is this going to change our relationship? Because we do fear change. And when somebody starts to find a hobby and do something for themselves, usually there's a little bit of fear and concern that it's going to change the relationship in a negative way. But almost 100% of the time, it's a positive change. You're happier, you feel better, and you're more capable of having productive conversations with your significant other instead of, you know, it's like a kid or a puppy. How do you get your energy out? You have to do something, and you have to do something that's interesting, fun, and challenging. And then you can come back and have a good conversation. So it does improve relationships, but it's a little rocky in the beginning.
Yeah. So do you find the men and women you coach have different issues?
For the most part, yes. You know, and again, I think it comes down to women seem to have a harder time saying, I'm going to do something for myself. They seem to have this notion that if you do something for yourself, you're arrogant, you're selfish, you're self-centered, where men tend to have an easier time doing something for themselves, but they struggle more with communicating with their partner on, like, you know, I think because they're more okay with just taking off, it's not just saying, oh, hey, let's look at our schedule together. And I always invite significant others to join in the meetings when I work with my athletes. And the reason is I want everybody to be on board with, all right, you know, I'd like to spend time with you on this day, but you can have your long run day this day. So it's just sitting down and having a mini meeting with your significant other or your family. I've had little kids hop into the conversations too. And finding time, whether it's early in the morning you go for your run or your bike ride, or if it's later in the day or during your lunch break, but women definitely have a harder time communicating that they want time for themselves than men do.
Well, I live with, I have 5 sons and a husband. I don't live with all of them anymore, but I find that there's a difference between men and women, how they approach injury. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Men tend to barrel through the injury and get really frustrated if they can't exercise. Some women do that too. Women tend to have a little bit more patience with injuries, still frustrated, but a little more patience. So it's just, again, and injuries are kind of an interesting thing because you can train through most injuries, but you just have to modify your training and figure out how you can do it safely. But the patience piece is the hard part, for both men and women, actually.
Well, I just lived through a knee injury, not mine, my husband's. The whole family lived through it. It was serious because obviously when you're kind of sidelined and you can't do your sport, you get a little grumpy. But luckily we all pulled together and found him some physiotherapy and got him sorted out, so it's all good. But I feel because I work with women in maternity, I feel like we do have more endurance, more stamina, and more ability to withstand pain without getting too dramatic.
Yeah, and I think perception of pain is different in men and women. I feel like women do have a little bit of a higher pain tolerance, and when I'm asking questions about how much pain somebody's experiencing, you kind of usually adjust it on, you start to learn who feels pain differently. And some people, if it's a little bit of pain, they might perceive it as a ton of pain, and some people might be in a ton of pain and say, "Oh yeah, I'm fine." So it's really figuring out that piece. But I do think women, especially because they were designed to bear children and raise children, have a higher pain tolerance.
I know my mother was the person that had the highest pain tolerance I've ever seen. She was amazing.
And you see it in the ultra running world. I mean, women with long distance stuff, they are able to emotionally withstand pain. And you'll see people like Courtney Dallwater, and there's a bunch of other women out there that are just absolutely unstoppable and competing against the men, which is an interesting thing to see too. But a lot of it is as females get older, they get more endurance. But I also think your pain tolerance increases too.
I don't know if you saw that clip of the Mexican women, the 5 Mexican women from that barefoot running, that group of Mexican people that run barefoot. Anyway, there were 5 of them. They just ran a 300-mile race
That's
as a
amazing.
team all together, like not a relay team, but all together in their fancy dresses and their little sandals. It was something else. And they looked so happy. They were just like, oh, I'm out running. They looked how I usually feel when I'm out for a run.
Looking at your perception, right? Like if you focus so much on, I need to meet this time, or and you put all this pressure on yourself when you show up, but if all you're doing is going out and playing, it totally changes your mindset, and there's a lot to be said about how much better you can perform when you're happy and relaxed and doing it just for the pure joy of doing something.
Absolutely. And I'm going to take this moment to tell all my listeners, please go out to play today. Just go out and play for 5 minutes if that's all you can take, but go out and play. It's just so much fun. So I'm going to move on to another group of people that you work with. I know that you work with older athletes and you also provide support to seniors who aren't athletes, but they just want to improve their fitness. What would you say is the main challenge of us humans who have been on the planet for quite a while?
Yeah, and like I hate to call it aging. It's you're more experienced at life. The biggest thing I'm learning and starting to work with seniors has opened my eyes up to the fact that you are never too old to start. you are never too broken to start. You are never too out of shape to start. The goals of the senior citizens are, I want to be able to stand up off the toilet on my own. I want to be able to carry my groceries from my car into the house without stopping. And it really changed my mindset because, you think of doing these sports so you can get better and faster and go further. But, life is a sport. And who wants to go into their older years and not be able to stand up off the toilet or carry the groceries in from the car? And these people that I'm working with are in their 80s and I'm throwing weights in their hands and, they're hunched over and they can't stand up straight. And in a matter of 4 to 6 weeks, they're standing up straight. They're doing these exercises beautifully. They're riding their horses. They're going back to sports that they once did. It is the most inspirational and coolest thing I've ever seen because I didn't know when I started working with senior citizens how much of a difference I would make in their life. The color of their skin changes, they look vibrant, their eyes, I mean, their mental clarity, there's so much more. So I guess the message is it's not just about like doing your endurance sport. That is something to do to have fun, to socialize, to find a reason to get out and be healthy. But ultimately, the goal is to be healthy enough to not be this crumpled up person that can't walk when they're 70 or 80 years old. You want to be able to play with your grandchildren, your great grandchildren, be able to go for walks and, not have to have a caregiver. Of course, things happen, but the better you take care of yourself and especially strength training, and that is the game changer. Cardio, you can just go for a walk 20 minutes a day and be fine. But to add that strength training in, you're going to build muscle mass, which in turn increases your bone mass so that you don't end up with, falling and breaking your hip, which is the end for a lot of people. So just increasing balance, mental strength, muscle strength, bone strength, it's going to improve the quality of your life so that you get to live longer and do things longer.
Yeah, I think that old people are told the same kinds of lies that women are told, that that we shouldn't be eating so much, that our appetite will decline. And now, like you're called a senior after 50, for goodness sake. You shouldn't eat so much protein. Your appetite's going to decline. You shouldn't put any stress on your joints. All of the things that are actually factually wrong. And so, we listen to that and we start to decline.
Yeah. I mean, they used to tell women they shouldn't run a marathon because the uterus is going to fall out. I mean, you can carry children, but you can't go for a run. And that's just, where, and we have to grow. And there is a lot more research on people, getting older and the importance of maintaining strength or starting strength program and some cardio and longevity. So we'll get there as a society. It's just going to take a long time to change people's minds.
Yeah.
And protein, that's like protein and sleep. Those two things are the key because that's what helps with muscle recovery.
Well, I mean, we'll get there as a society, but actually, if you look at the places where, I mean, in our history, where people have lived to 110, and in certain places of the world, there's a whole bunch of people that are over 100, so
Yeah.
that's kind of interesting and something to strive for.
Yeah.
To live an active life up until over 100, that's my goal.
Mine too.
So I just want to talk a little bit about how change happens, how growth happens. Do you believe that people have to suffer setbacks so that they can grow?
Yeah, that's how you learn. You learn from making forward progress and then something happens and then you learn how to manage that setback and then it allows you to move forward because without little lessons in life, you're not going to learn. And that's the whole goal of making a change is learning the behaviors that are positive and healthy behaviors and ones that do move you in that forward direction and which behaviors are going to be a setback. And I like to pull myself every once in a while, just pull myself out of, I mean, not literally out of my body, but look at my life with no emotion for exactly everything it is and everything it isn't. And it gives you clarity on where you're going next. And I mean, it's no different than if you were training in the gym or for cardio. You're going to have progression, you're going to have plateaus, you're going to have setbacks, and then you're going to have progression. But if you look at the graph overall, it's gradually going up, up, up.
So I've worked with a lot of people in my life, and I've worked with people who really are in really difficult situations, fleeing from war and no home and those kinds of situations that can't be, they can't be ignored. They're actual setbacks. But most people that we meet don't have those actual exterior setbacks, and they still don't do the things they dream of doing. What do you think is the main reason why people don't do the things they dream of doing?
Fear. We fear change. We fear change that is good. We fear change that is bad. We're afraid to take a step forward because we're comfortable. And having been somebody that was in a really bad situation for a long time, you know, I feared that maybe this was the best I could do for myself and leaving would make things worse. And, you know, when you realize that taking that step outside of your comfort zone is an opportunity for growth, and you'll find that, you know, what is our biggest fear? We're going to lose the people in our life. Well, if those people aren't looking to watch you grow or succeed in your life, then maybe it's time to, you know, figure out what is your relationship with somebody. And ultimately, it's unconditional love. It's loving yourself for everything you are and everything that you're not. And, you know, when you have a friend or a family member that changes, it's, again, it's unconditionally loving them for everything they are and everything they're not and everything they're going to be tomorrow, and being okay with that change, because most times it's not going to ruin your life. It's going to enhance your life.
So you're saying go out and do scary things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, go to that place you've never gone. You know, maybe if you're miserable in your job, go explore other jobs, start interviewing, because who knows, the next job, it might not be great, but I mean, it's probably going to be better than where you're at. And if it's not, there's other jobs out there. And, you know, if you're in a, an abusive relationship, you know, love yourself enough to step away and leave. And, you know, a lot of, that's a very near dear topic to me, but a lot of women stay because they fear leaving. And unfortunately, I've known people that have ended up in the hospital or lost their lives because they were afraid to leave, you know, relationships. Nobody deserves to be treated that way. You know, and just within yourself, if there's something you don't like about yourself, you're always allowed to change that. You don't have to be the same person every single day, your whole entire life. That can get dull anyways. It's fun to explore new things.
The word fun comes up a lot,
yeah,
when I'm speaking to you. And I guess, okay, so my second final question is, what is it about the desert that you love?
There's just magic here. You go outside and there's some sort of an energy that I can't even put my finger on. The sunsets are breathtaking, and I feel this connection out here in the desert that I don't feel anywhere else. And maybe it's because the views are so vast and you can see storms coming from miles and miles away. Maybe it's the history of, you know, our past and the Native Americans and the energy and the magic that they had. And maybe it's just the sunshine. You know, there's so much sunshine and everybody's so happy out here. It's a really happy place. And the desert critters are, they're so prolific. Like, you get to see critters on the East Coast, but when we came out here, it's like you're always seeing these bunnies and coyotes and like interesting cat creatures and, you know, the lizards and tarantulas. It's just magical out here.
It is. I love it. I find it pure as well. There's a certain purity.
Yeah.
So my final question is, if you had only one word to share with everyone that they could keep, what would it be?
Unconditional love, I guess two words.
Okay, I'll allow you two words. Those are good ones.
For yourself and everybody else, it's really the key to happiness, because when you realize that we all see the world differently and it's okay, and we all have a different perception of the roles that people play in our lives, and if you just allow people to, you know, and play the movie their way, and then you play the movie your way, but you just accept everybody's differences and different views and don't try to change people and never say, I would love you if, I would like you if. It's, if you can't handle that person the way they are, then don't be in their life. Nobody deserves to be changed. Whether you feel like they're a good person or a bad person, we're all allowed to have our opinions. And that was the biggest thing that changed my life, was looking at everybody through the eyes of love unconditionally and just accepting them for who and what they are, but also accepting myself for who and what I am.
I think it's really valuable that you came out of such difficulty and came to such a good place where you're actually helping others.
It just, I felt really fortunate, but it was a lot of work. It was 6 months to a year. So it's not like you're going to do this and overnight your life is going to change. I was mad. When you learn to forgive people that hurt you, when you learn to love everybody, including those that hurt you, you know, there's emotions and feelings of anger and why am I doing this? But once you do that every single day and create that practice and just start looking at everybody with love and understanding and forgiveness, it changes your entire life.
Well, I'm going to put your info up on the show notes. And I'd like to let everyone know, if you're just looking for someone to talk to every week to help you through a hard time, you do not have to be an ultra runner or a triathlon athlete. You just have to be a human. And Christina is magical. So I'll put the info up on the show notes. Thank you so much, Christina. It's been really a joy speaking with you.
Thank you so much. You're always a joy to talk to.